Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with the Big Bang.
Hey! Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song, a fraction of a second.
TV theme songs is your artist of the day, and I must confess, this is one show I could never get into.
Oh, yeah.
Could
is
never
this
do
that,
it. Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Sam insisted on it.
I know. A lot of people did.
Karen Marxer loved it, remember?
Yeah.
Like, she loved that show.
Well, the issue is the jokes took a lot of thought.
No, it was just dumb.
Yeah, I don't want to think, really, ever.
Just make me laugh. Pivot!
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no thought in that joke.
You're a jerk.
Dan Weinbaum, by the way, is a SpaceX rocket shuttle nerd. We are getting multiple texts from him. Captain Kirk apparently just wished the astronauts well. He says we are now 30 minutes from launch. And
23 minutes and 57 seconds.
The propellant is now being loaded.
Do you want to get Dan on?
No, I don't know that we need to do that. He's super geeking out on this, though. Sam shaking his head no.
You were not supposed to say that out loud.
I don't even know if Dan Weinbaum's wearing pants right now.
Full disclosure, I love Dan Weinbaum.
Tell us about the propellant, Dan. And then, like, you know, he's Cliff Clavin of Cheers. Like, 4 hours later, we would still be talking about propellant.
Dude, he would be funny, though, if he called in.
Yeah, he would be really funny.
We could totally make fun of him.
You know we would talk about the dawn of the space age.
Hang on. I'm sending him a message right now.
Well, you know, 14 million years ago.
Just reply to one of the 63 messages he sent us in the last hour about the SpaceX.
Oh, my God.
This is his moment to shine. Get him on here.
I'm going to get him on. Sam, if the hotline rings here in the next minute or two, it's going to be one Daniel Weinbaum calling to share his encyclopedic knowledge
of the space
travel.
Do you know who I feel so sorry for right now? And I mean this.
His wife?
I was going to say his mother. The astronaut's mother.
Oh, I meant Dan Weinbaum's wife.
No, the astronaut's mothers. You would just be beside yourself with nerves. Beside yourself. Even though you've grown to accept that your son is in this field. Both of those men.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would just be beside yourself right now with worry.
Well, the weather is not great. And so there is a chance that it will be delayed. And if it is delayed, it'll be delayed till Saturday.
Ugh.
From what
then there's all that stress that just carries into Saturday. That's why I feel sorry for these women.
If they do launch in 21 minutes and 51 seconds, we will carry it live. This will be the first time in 9 years that Americans have launched into space off U.S. soil. And in a completely different rocket.
You would be so proud of them, but you would also be like, are you sure you don't want to pick another vocation?
Can't you work behind a desk?
It's not too late. They're adding propellant. For the love of God, get off that thing.
Here's what I don't understand. I sent Dan a text about a minute ago saying, call the hotline. I mean, I'm amazed he's not on yet.
Yep. Somebody's calling.
I'm seeing movement.
We're seeing movement. Uh-huh. Strap in, people. Strap
Encyclopedia
in.
Dan, hello.
Here we go.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
To boldly go. Let's go, people. Let's light this candle.
Are you wearing pants?
Yeah. Well, short pants. As they used to say back in the 20th century.
Pantaloons. He's wearing pantaloons.
Yeah. Pantaloons, yeah.
This is exciting, isn't it?
Oh, my God, Tam. Oh. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm about ready to start drinking again.
Yeah. You know why I think this is so exciting? One, because it is a little bit historic, because it's the first time U.S. astronauts have flown on a rocket from U.S. soil in 9 years.
Mm.
So it's like a restarting of our space exploration.
Right. Oh, yeah. Because we've been borrowing Russia's, right?
Yep.
That we've been launching from Kazakhstan and all of that. And so that's exciting, but it's also exciting, I think, because these are the things we should really be focusing on. I mean, we do have a real pandemic going on, but these are the things that I think we should really be focusing on. Exploration and science, and let's go, it's exciting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about the propellant. What are they physically doing? They add that and then they push a button and off we go?
Well, pretty much. It's like pulling up at your local gas station and then just taking the pump and sticking it in the hole and then topping it off and closing the cap. And in 20 minutes and 35 seconds, they hit the button and the big explosion happens underneath the rocket. And this is all very scientific talk, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The big explosion happens, and it pushes them off the face of the Earth.
Now, the International Space Station rotates around the Earth 16 times a day. It moves at 17,000 miles per hour.
Yeah.
How do you catch up to something moving 17,000 miles an hour?
Well, you have to go 17,000 miles an hour yourself. Got to push yourself into a certain position, and this is where all the math comes in, and angles and geometry and spatial relations and all that stuff. And then you just stick out your thumb, and hopefully they'll pick you up.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is crazy.
It is, and I've got a feeling they're going to go. There was issues with the weather. Concerns about the weather, but I've got a feeling they're going to go. It's cloudy down there in Florida. I've got the live stream up on my big screen here, and cloudy, but I think they're going to go.
Do you have your Rubik's Cube, nerd?
You know, I don't have one. I never got very far with those things. They were always very frustrating.
You're missing my point. Are you completely nerding out right now?
Almost completely. I'm about three quarters of the way there.
Okay.
Yeah. As we get closer and they push that button, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I think this is always exciting. Whenever we leave Earth, the only home that we know, and push up beyond the atmosphere, I get excited every time we do this.
But haven't they had problems with the SpaceX?
Well, they've been developing it, and you know, you have to fail sometimes in order to then create success.
Believe and, me, I know.
Yeah. And, yeah, so they've had some problems, but they've been working on it, and I know they've got this built with the special escape pod, so if anything happens, hopefully the escape pod works correctly, and
okay.
Bob and Doug are safe.
So
we're on first name basis now.
Oh, they're showing them in there.
Oh, yeah. Now, check out those spacesuits. Aren't those wicked
they're
cool?
They're awesome.
They're just different and new, and it's all just exciting. And it looks like if you look at the cockpit there, there's barely anything to touch or do. It's all touch screen, and
yeah.
There's not a lot of knobs and switches and blinky lights like in the past.
Movies.
Yeah.
What's all that smoke coming off the rocket?
Steam of some type. I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure what it is, but it's some kind of venting.
If you're looking at the live stream, it's T-minus 17 and 18 seconds, 17 minutes and 16 seconds.
Oh, you're on a delay. It's 16 minutes and 3 seconds.
is it? Mm-hmm. And the two astronauts are just sitting in there, and it looks like they're kind of chatting. I have no idea what they're saying to one another. Like, you know, how about those Chiefs?
And if you look at their leg, they've got that little board with writing on it. It looks like a menu.
It does look like a cocktail menu.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take a margarita.
Yeah, you'd have to give me a lot of drinks. It would take a lot of drinks.
I would love to do this. I would love to go into
See, this. And now the smoke isn't coming off the rocket anymore.
I think it's that has to do with the venting. And
so Dan,
you'll have to ask somebody else about why that happens when they're fueling.
Tell us more about the escape hatch, because obviously, you know, in disasters past, we did not have that technology.
No, and that's the thing. We want to be able to keep our astronauts and keep them safe. And I know SpaceX has been developing this escape pod, and they have tested it. And, oh, my gosh, when was this? It was one not long ago when we got to watch the successful test of the escape pod. That was pretty cool.
Why go with a private company? Why not be a NASA, a government entity?
Because it's a bajillion dollars cheaper.
I said, why go with a private company like SpaceX?
That's a great question. This is a new era of the private public partnership of space exploration. I think that has to do with what we, quote unquote, the government and the people of this country want to pay for, and they're going to try and monetize space. There's a lot of minerals up there.
Well, Dan, I hope you have a wonderful next 20 minutes.
Oh,
I'm sure you will.
Thank you very much. Well, what's the clock on now? What's the countdown now?
Hang on, I don't have it in front of me. I'll let you know. We are going to carry it live. If this does happen, we are going to carry it live here on KMBZ. Dan Weinbaum, Captain Encyclopedia. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ. That was anticlimactic.
Right.
Damn it. They just postponed the launch till Saturday. Damn you, NASA.
What do they say about the weather in Florida? If you don't like it, just wait 15 minutes?
Well, right. Yeah, but true, but this is all mathematically planned out. I mean, there was a reason they were launching at 4:44, or check that, 4:34 local time. It's to make sure that they line up with the International Space Station. I mean, you have to do it at a certain time.
I was just kidding.
Oh. Look at me go, old Dan Weinbaum.
Yeah,
jeez.
Way to go.
That was weird.
If you have not seen the spacesuits, it's worth looking them up. This is from the New York Times. What the SpaceX suits evoke most is James Bond's tuxedo if it were redesigned by Tony Stark as an upgrade for James T. Kirk's next big adventure. They are streamlined, graphic, and articulated, more a part of the pop culture Comic-Con continuum of space style than NASA.
No, they look good. They look good. So those guys have been sitting in there, pooping in their own pants, peeing in their own pants for the last 3 or 4 hours.
Now they can change their underwear.
And they're now being removed from the rocket and come down and take a normal poop.
They're poor mothers. Now they've got to wait till Saturday.
The SpaceX launch has been scrubbed due to the weather in Florida. I didn't realize this. their biggest concern was lightning. It's not the rain or anything like that. I guess these giant rockets attract lightning when you go through the clouds.
Yeah, it's a giant metal rod.
That's what she said. So the launch has been scrubbed. We were hoping to be able to broadcast that to you here in just a few minutes. First time in over 9 years that Americans would launch into space from American soil. That will have to wait until Saturday. The news is next. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, yeah, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
He's Waylon Jennings, because he's
taking
great.
Taking their way, the only way they know how.
Yeah. We are going to now delve into the story that everybody's been talking about, that nobody wants to talk about. And it is the killing of a man in Minneapolis by the police.
Scott texted me this morning and said, we have to talk about Minneapolis today. And I agreed. But it's so hard to talk about this again.
It's hard to watch the video, is what it is. Let me read you the story, and then you and I can chime in, and then everybody else can chime in as well. Story from the Associated Press. To the general public, the video of a white police officer pressing his knee into the neck of a black man prone on the street, crying out for help until he finally stopped moving, was horrifying. Four officers have now been fired a day after George Floyd's death, a stunning and swift move by the Minneapolis chief with the mayor's full backing. But despite their dismissal, whether the incident will be considered criminal or even excessive force is a more complicated question that will likely take months to investigate. The officers were fired soon after a bystander's video taken outside of a Minneapolis grocery store on Monday night showed an officer kneeling on the handcuffed man's neck, even after he pleaded that he could not breathe and stopped moving. Floyd's death prompted protests yesterday, with thousands taking to the streets at intersections where he died. Go ahead, you first.
Well, bystanders, there were several bystanders, Scott, who are pleading with the officer to get off his neck. They are pleading and cursing and begging the officer to stop. One bystander says the man's nose is bleeding. And then at one point, I think one of the bystanders says, he's not moving. Did you kill him? And they did.
They did. They killed him.
It was 5 full minutes, correct?
Yes. At least 5 minutes. Now, I don't know, and I don't know that this story says what they had stopped him for.
They said it was a attempted forgery, I believe. I read somewhere that one of the storekeepers thought he had tried to pass a fake $20 bill. But the same storekeeper who called police for that was one of the bystanders pleading with police to stop that they were killing him.
Hmm. Watching the video this morning, and we saw the video come in yesterday afternoon, but I decided, and I did this actually without consulting with you, Dana, so forgive me, that we had already talked about a race-related topic yesterday. People had not had an opportunity to see the video, and so I thought, you know what, we'll just wait till tomorrow to talk about
it. Yeah, we had Dog Park Diane yesterday.
Yeah, and so I just thought, you know, we'll just wait till tomorrow to talk about this story. We cannot wait until tomorrow to talk about this story. This story has to be discussed. And I watched that video again this morning, even though I had seen it last night, with such despair and disgust. And on this show, you and I are often accused of being too pro-cop. In this instance, I will not be accused of that. Not only do I think that the four officers involved should be fired, but at the very least, I think the officer with his, and there it is again, I can see it on my TV right now. Makes me sick. The officer with his knee on this man's neck should be charged with first-degree murder. The man was handcuffed. He had
lying on his stomach.
Right. He had no ability whatsoever, because he was handcuffed, to even remotely try to defend himself. And if you listen to the audio, you can hear one of the officers taunting him. Get up. Get up if you need to. And there is nothing short of a first-degree murder charge that would be acceptable to me for the officer with his knee on this man's neck. He was not resisting arrest. These are professional police officers who easily, with a handcuffed man, had him in control. I don't think there's a police officer in this audience who could defend the behavior that you see on this videotape. This man is begging for his life. Begging for his life.
And we've seen videos, Scott, before of an officer's knee on a suspect's back. Okay? I have never heard or seen anyone or heard anyone say that it is acceptable to place the full weight of your body through the knee to someone's neck. That, to me, there's no way this can be any kind of protocol, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Because you are going to asphyxiate the person. I mean, the officer looks like a fit
200-pound man.
200-pound guy. And he's not, in fact, it looks like one of his hands is in his pocket. So his full weight of that knee is on this man's neck. And I will tell you, I have seen the video. I could not listen. I could not listen to that man begging for his life. I couldn't do it.
The mayor of Minneapolis, by the way, this just crossed on CNN. The mayor of Minneapolis, who happens to be white, in case it matters, is now calling for the officers to be charged with murder.
Yes, he wants all four officers charged with murder, and I want to ask you about that.
Okay, go ahead, because I have an opinion about that as well.
Well, what do you think? First of all, what do you think would stick in court, and what do you think should be charged?
Well, what I think would stick in court is what I think should be charged. There's no way you're going to get all four convicted of murder. The guy who, the police officer who put his knee on this gentleman's neck, I think should be charged with first degree murder and convicted of first degree murder and should spend the rest of his life in prison. The other three, because they sat there and did nothing, should it at the very least be charged with manslaughter. Which sounds worse, but it really isn't that. I mean, it's like a 2 to 8 year term in prison.
You would have to decide, Scott, is what happened a crime? Was the officer committing a crime?
Yes.
With the knee on the neck, and I believe that that is a crime.
Yes.
And then for the three other officers to not step in and stop a crime that led to a man's death, does that look more like manslaughter or negligence
or second degree murder?
You know, and I'm asking our listeners, what do you think?
I don't know, Dana. And here's what I do know. What I have seen on that video is so egregious and so over the top that I would challenge any member of the police force who listens to this program to defend that behavior. And I don't think you can. You can't. it is so egregious to put your knee on a handcuffed man's neck. Now, a lot of people are comparing this to Eric Garner, okay, in
which was the chokehold death over the cigarettes
in Staten Island, right, over the Lucy cigarettes. The difference here, and I'm not saying that the Eric Garner death was justifiable, so please don't misunderstand. The difference, though, is this young man, George Floyd, was handcuffed. He was already restrained. And yet this officer puts his knee on this man's neck for 5 minutes. He's already restrained. He has no ability to fight back. None. Even if you let him up, the worst thing he can do is run away. He cannot fight. And if he does run away, he's running down the street in handcuffs.
You know, Minneapolis has a problem on its hands, Scott. This is
big time.
Growing into, you know, we have protests now. We have, and part of the problem is the initial statement that was released by the department. I'm going to read it now. This was, I believe, before the video made it into the public realm. He was ordered to step out from his car, the department statement read. After he got out, he physically resisted officers. Officers were able to get the suspect into handcuffs and noted he appeared to be suffering medical distress. That's the statement before we saw the video, which shows something very different. And so there is a deep mistrust of law enforcement here, not just within the African-American community, but in Minneapolis, there have been other issues. And I don't know how they repair that very broken trust right now.
Mm-hmm. Telephone number here is 576-7798. If you want to weigh in, I say murder one for the cop with the knee on the neck and life in prison. For the others, I don't know. I really
Scott,
don't
the,
know.
The updated statement from police after the video was released. You want to hear the title of the updated statement? Man dies after medical incident during police interaction.
Yeah, the medical incident was he couldn't breathe because your knee was on his neck.
Yeah, I don't know who the hell is running their public relations department, but my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 576-7798, Dana Wright, Scott Parks on KMBC. On this Wednesday afternoon, let's go to the phones. Tino in South Kansas City. Tino, good afternoon and welcome, my friend.
Good afternoon and thank you for bringing this topic. Everybody's talking about it. They should all get charged with murder. The three people that were there, police officers, they're the law. They're supposed to protect it. They should have stopped them when they knew that the man was asking for them to let him breathe. It was actually 9 minutes from the time that he took his knee off. And then again, falsifying the police report. Now, this has been happening for years in the black and the brown community. And we got to realize one thing. We have bad cops and we have good cops. I have friends of mine that are good cops. They take care of the people. They take care of the community. And they give back to the community. In Kansas City and in Missouri, Thomas from Kansas City runs the boxing arena down there. And then we have the Lobos in Missouri. Great cops given to the community and helping the community. But people have to realize we have bad cops, and this is what scares me. The bad cops... put the good cops in jeopardy. Because once people get mad and cannot trust the police department, so many police officers have died because they just police officers.
Yeah, and buddy, we're losing you there, and I appreciate the call. And he's right, Scott. Police will tell you this just makes their job that much harder.
Sure does. Sure does.
Now that this has happened, it makes their job that much harder. One of the questions I had, just thinking out loud, Scott, was they knew that all these bystanders were there pleading with him to move his knee. Mm-hmm. They had to have known people were filming this.
I'm sure they did.
And yet they still did nothing. And keep in mind, we would still have just their narrative of what happened had someone not filmed this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is man suffers, quote, medical incident after interaction with police.
Let me read something from the text line, if I may. You two... I think they're referring to you and me. You two should shut up when you don't know what the hell you are talking about. You were not there, and you have never been in that position. I have. I got my head split open by an inmate who was maybe 120 pounds soaking wet, who was handcuffed and being escorted by several officers at the time. Well, Texter, with all due respect, you should shut the hell up. There was one man who was handcuffed, who had not been violent with these officers. So what if he may have tried to run away? We don't even know that, by the way. How far are you going to get when you're running down the street with handcuffs on? I mean, give me a break. You know,
it matters to me, Scott, that this was for a forgery call.
Yeah.
This was not a triple murder suspect. He was not a rapist. He just robbed a bank. He was not armed.
This is what most police officers would tell you in these times is a crime you just don't prosecute. Oh,
the forgery.
Yeah.
The forgery.
Yeah. You let it go. I mean, who's really hurting whom here? And so, Texter, you can get all tough with us and you can spew your crap about how you got almost beat up by a 120-pound guy who was soaking wet, who was in handcuffs. This guy was not being violent. He was not being violent.
Well, and you're missing the biggest distinction, Scott. The incident that our listener is talking about wasn't caught on tape. This entire thing is caught on tape. So to say, well, you weren't there, millions and millions of people have viewed this tape, and law enforcement experts are denouncing the behavior of that officer.
There's no defending this behavior. There's no defending it. And I said 5 minutes earlier. Dana, the previous caller said 9 minutes. I've also heard 9 minutes, but I wasn't ready to go on the air with that because I haven't seen that in print. The only thing I had seen in print was 5 minutes. But I've heard 9 minutes. There is no excusing this behavior. This police officer should be charged with murder, first degree, because this man didn't even stand a chance. News is next, 576-7798.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.